What actually is the Arkenstone? It seems incredibly important to Thorin in The Hobbit, and is clearly very beautiful and valuable, but is that it, or is there something else more important going on? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we cover The Lord of the Rings in nerdy detail, as well as A Song of Ice and Fire and other great fantasy books and TV shows. Welcome. In The Hobbit, much is made of the Arkenstone, both in the book and especially in the movies. In the movies, it is suggested that the quest of Erebor is almost more about finding that rather than reclaiming the Lonely Mountain itself, per se, and that Thorin possessing it would grant him the authority to unite all dwarven clans to attack Erebor. Sounds pretty important. And yet, in the book, the Arkenstone isn't mentioned at all until halfway through The Hobbit. It doesn't appear at all in the Silmarillion, nor in the main Lord of the Rings text, just the appendices. So, what is it? Is it really that important? Let's start by going through the history. The Longbeard Dwarves had had a colony in the Lonely Mountain since at least the Second Age of Middle-earth, but it was only with the arrival of Thrain I in 1999 of the Third Age, fleeing from the Balrog in Moria, that the Kingdom Under the Mountain was formed. The small colony was transformed into a thriving underground city and deep mining began. Lots of gold and other treasures were discovered, but the greatest treasure of all was a single large gem, beautiful beyond measure. When the dwarves start reminiscing about it, this is what we hear. Fairest of all was the great white gem which the dwarves had found beneath the roots of the mountain, the heart of the mountain, the Arkenstone of Thrain. "The Arkenstone, the Arkenstone," murmured Thorin in the dark, half dreaming with his chin upon his knees. It was like a globe with a thousand facets. It shone like silver in the firelight, like water in the sun, like snow under the stars, like rain upon the moon. The dwarves worked the stone into a multifaceted jewel, which emitted its own pale light, and when another light fell upon it, it turned that into 10,000 sparks of white radiance, shot with glints of the rainbow. It was large and heavy for a gem, though small enough for Bilbo to keep hidden surreptitiously. All who saw it were enthralled by its beauty. It became known as the Heart of the Mountain, although it didn't stay in the mountain for long. Thrain's son Thorin I took it with him when he led the bulk of his people from the Lonely Mountain up to the Grey Mountains to make his capital there. And there it stayed for a few hundred years, becoming an heirloom of sorts of the kings of Durin's folk. It went back to the Lonely Mountain with Thror, Thrain I's descendant, and the Thorin we know's grandfather. At the time, they were trying to escape the various dragons in the Grey Mountains and thought the Lonely Mountain was a safer bet. That obviously didn't work out so well for them. The films understandably largely ignore all this bit of history, having the Arkenstone staying in Erebor all that time. What the books and movies agree on is that with Smaug's coming, the Arkenstone is lost and is now just a part of Smaug's treasure trove. Then, a couple of dwarven generations later, we get to the events of The Hobbit. When Bilbo goes exploring inside the mountain and into Smaug's hoard, he sees it. It was the Arkenstone, the heart of the mountain. So Bilbo guessed from Thorin's description, but indeed there could not be two such gems, even in so marvellous a hoard, even in all the world. Ever as he climbed, the same white gleam had shone before him and drawn his feet towards it. Slowly it grew to a little globe of pallid light. Now, as he came near, it was tinged with the flickering sparkle of many colours at the surface, reflected and splintered from the wavering light of his torch. At last he looked down upon it, and he caught his breath. The great jewel shone before his feet of its own inner light, and yet, cut and fashioned by the dwarves who had dug it from the heart of the mountain long ago, it took all light that fell upon it and changed it into 10,000 sparks of white radiance, shot with glints of the rainbow. Bilbo takes it, not for any altruistic reason at this point, let's be honest. His thought is to keep it as his share of the treasure. He then keeps it hidden, even when he knows how much Thorin wants it and is spending his time searching for it, that it is his family heirloom and is priceless to him, and that he will be avenged on anyone who finds it and doesn't tell him. It is only then, when the elves and humans are besieging the mountain and readying for battle, that Bilbo starts to think about using it as a way to end the deadlock. He clearly understands how valuable it is to Thorin, and that he would be potentially willing to give up a lot to get it back. I think Tolkien leaves it up to us to make any moral judgments on Bilbo's actions here, but there is little doubt that he was initially motivated by greed for the stone itself. We'll get on to why that might be in a moment. Then a desire to prevent a battle. However laudable you might think that aim is, it wasn't very successful. The dwarves were about to attack the elves and men to try to reclaim the Arkenstone when the greater threat of the goblins and wild wolves came upon them. I see no reason why Thorin would have had a different negotiating position after the Battle of the Five Armies had he survived. So, why is the Arkenstone so important? Well, first things first, leaving everything else aside, as a jewel, it is astonishingly beautiful and valuable. Thorin says that it is worth more than a river of gold. No one questions the idea that its value is that of at least a 14th of Smaug's entire hoard, and make no mistake, that was worth a lot. A great mound of treasure that had to be climbed up, it was so vast. Second, as we've already intimated, the Arkenstone is a symbol of kingship for Durin's folk. It is not quite as ancient or legendary as Narsil, the broken sword of the heirs of Elendil, but it's the same sort of idea. It was rightfully held by the King of the Longbeards, and someone else having it was a bit of an affront to the dwarves. Let's not forget, the dwarves tended to think that anything mined from the earth by them and fashioned by them was morally or spiritually theirs, regardless of technical or legal ownership. This counted double when a jewel such as this actually was unlawfully taken from them. Those two things on their own would be enough to make the Arkenstone special, but there is no denying that there is more going on here. Thorin's desire for it went well beyond a mere and very understandable desire to reclaim an important family heirloom. It wasn't, as the films claimed, necessary in any way for him to assert his kingship, that was already beyond doubt. Instead, he was, as far as we can tell, affected by a very focused type of dragon sickness. For those newer to Tolkien, this is a term we use for those overtaken by a lust for gold or wealth, particularly from dragon hordes. Tolkien doesn't use that exact term in The Hobbit, but he does say this when Bard was in negotiation with Thorin about swapping the Arkenstone for some of the other treasure. Bard did not reckon with the power that gold has upon which a dragon has long brooded, nor with dwarvish hearts. Long hours in the past days Thorin had spent in the treasury, and the lust of it was heavy on him. Though he had hunted chiefly for the Arkenstone, yet he had an eye for many other wonderful things that was just lying there, about which were wound old memories of the labours and the sorrows of his race. Tolkien has a famously soft magic system, so doesn't explain all the details of things like this, but it's clear that a dragon's lust for gold and treasure can transfer to those who claim the hoard the dragon has laid on. That's at least part of what was going on with Thorin. We should also at this point address a persistent fan theory, that the Arkenstone might even be one of the legendary Silmarils. I did a video on the Silmarils a bit ago if you want to know more about them, but basically they are ancient, hallowed by the Valar, astonishingly beautiful, and possessing of the light of the two trees of Valinor itself. They, or rather the desire to possess them, drove much of the action of the First Age of Middle-earth, and one of them ended up being cast down into a fiery chasm deep into the earth at the end of the First Age. The speculation is that this one ended up beneath the Lonely Mountain and was dug up unknowingly by the dwarves in the Third Age and called the Arkenstone. You can see why some people have made the connection, because the Silmarils possess a light from within them, like the Arkenstone, and people do become rather obsessed with possessing them, like with the Arkenstone. And Tolkien does undeniably use them in similar ways, as he does later with the One Ring. At a very basic level, they show how greed and a lust for power and control and wealth can corrupt. But despite these similarities, it's pretty clear that the Arkenstone isn't a Silmaril. They simply do not do the same things. The Arkenstone has an inner glow, but doesn't shine so bright it is blinding as the Silmarils do. And the Silmarils were hallowed so that no mortal flesh nor unclean hands could touch them without being burned. That doesn't happen with the Arkenstone. And to make it even clearer, not only does Tolkien not ever even hint at it, but none of the in-world characters ever make a connection between them, and Tolkien very clearly asserts several times that, as he says in a 1966 letter, only one of the Silmarils is now visible, the one in the ship of Erendil, the Morning Star. The other two were lost, one in the depths of the sea, the other under the earth, until the end of the world. Lost until the end of the world. Not dug up by the dwarves. So, as fun as this theory is, it doesn't really work. All of which is to say that although the Arkenstone may not be a Silmaril, it is certainly valuable almost beyond measure, and hugely important to the dwarves. So when Bilbo stole it and handed it over to the elves and humans outside Erebor, it was a big deal. We are naturally sympathetic to Bilbo, and the tale is obviously told very much from his perspective, but he was very well aware of quite how important the Arkenstone was and how Thorin in particular would have reacted. Interestingly, it's clear that to Tolkien, the importance of the Arkenstone only emerged gradually over time as he was writing The Hobbit. It's chapter 12 of 19 that it is even first mentioned, and he seemingly first introduced it with the idea that this one jewel could be Bilbo's 14th share, otherwise he would have had to carry a lot of treasure back with him to the Shire. That stone became the gem of Gideon, Bard's ancestor, so that the Lake Men had some claim to part of the treasure themselves, then upgraded again to become the Arkenstone, and a means by which Bilbo might start negotiations between the two sides, and then, well, you get the idea. It was quite a complex and iterative process that brought the Arkenstone to creative life. It was never the starting point for the adventure, but it was eventually an important ending. After the Battle of the Five Armies, the outbreak of peace between the dwarves, humans and elves, and Thorin's death, the Arkenstone was placed by Bard on Thorin's chest as his body was committed to the depths beneath the Lonely Mountain. So, after all that fighting, anger and dispute, it ended up with the person that it probably did rightfully belong to in the first place, where it had originally come from, and the dwarves and men of that part of the world grew close once more. And that, perhaps, is why it is not really mentioned much in the wider legendarium. It was symbolically important for a time in the Third Age, and played an important role in the reclamation of Erebor, which was itself important, but ultimately it was a transitory thing. And I think it says a lot that the dwarves were willing and able to give it up, to give it back to the mountain. Tolkien's legendarium is full of great treasures that generations of people fight over and lust after. The One Ring, obviously, the Silmarils, and so on. The Arkenstone had all the potential to be just that. But the dwarves chose to give it back to the earth and let it rest with Thorin. A noble act from a noble people. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, there's a link to my playlist on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.